It is time for another edition of the JMRA podcast. I am your host, Joe Montana's right arm, bringing you the latest in the podcast series. And, well, this might be the single most depressing episode of the JMRA podcast ever. This is episode 52. And, well, a lot of not-so-good stuff to talk about, well, depending on your perspective in terms of the NFL. We'll get to it here momentarily. As you hear in the background the strands of the one and only Prince, obviously, if you have followed my tweets or seen my new banner graphic on Twitter, the Prince thing is a downer, man. I'm not going to lie to you. So we're going to talk a little bit about that later on in the podcast after we cover the NFL stuff. But first, the social media rundown. On the blog, joemontanasrightarm.com. Sorry, things have been a little bit slowish on the blog as of late. Work and some other things going on that have taken my writing ability away for the moment. I'm actually in part training for the Broad Street Run in Philadelphia coming up on May 1st, so a lot of my training, unfortunately, has to be done at night because of my work schedule, so that's kind of fouled things up. And, you know, after you run 9 miles or something on a treadmill, writing sometimes is not at the tip-top of your mind. But anyhow, we're here. We're getting back into it. The race concludes on Sunday, so we'll be getting slowly but surely back into a regular schedule of things. Of course, the NFL draft this week falls on a Thursday, by the way, and I am literally working during the NFL draft, so that'll be interesting. Elsewhere, you can catch us on Twitter, at Joe M's Right Arm, on Vine, and Facebook as well. We give you the rundown, and Instagram as well, starting to heat up the Instagram page again as we speak, so be sure to check that out. Just simply search Joe Montana's Right Arm, or J Montana's Right Arm is the exact Instagram handle. Well, we're going to start out with the news of Monday, and that is Tom Brady, it looks like, barring something crazy happening, will be suspended for the first 4 games of the 2016 season. A federal appeals court ruled on Monday that Brady must serve his 4-game suspension. And they reinstated the suspension and the ruling offered by Roger Goodell, really for no other solid reason than he has the power to make those decisions based off the collective bargaining agreement. And I mean, it all goes back to this. There are a lot of villains in this case, but one that is not getting bashed enough is the NFL Players Association. You can't give Roger Goodell this type of power, and then when something like this happens, scream bloody murder on it. I mean, they're kind of lucky it's gotten to this point where they got a stay of execution temporarily before things really fell apart here over the last 48 hours. But, man, that's a tough blow for the Patriots. I know I've been reading and taking a look at a lot of observations by people who are like, the Patriots are still going to go 12-4. You know, they might. But let's run down this schedule real quick for the Pats before we get into what Tom Brady is going to do next as a result of this suspension. So the Patriots open up on the road at Arizona. You would have to presume that that's going to be a loss. On the road with Jimmy Garoppolo as quarterback against one of the NFC's best teams, the second best team in the NFC last season, that's a tough racket. Early on in NFL seasons, as long as the personnel hasn't wildly changed, and obviously the Patriots are going to undergo a massive personnel change at the top spot, you don't see a lot of movement in terms of how the teams play, at least in the first week. Things eventually change and shift as the year goes on, but that game, very, very concerning if you're a Patriots fan, I think, as far as getting Garoppolo started out on the right foot. Then you have 3 straight home games. Now, there's some conspiracy theories that have been thrown out there that the league knew they were going to win this appeal, so they loaded the Patriots up with home games so they wouldn't start out 0-4. Because if they start out 0-4, I got news for you. very tough winning 12 straight games in the course of regular season. I don't care who the quarterback is. So that makes, and their schedule is not easy clearing those four games. So the idea that they're going to run the table and go 12-0, I think is a little short-sighted. So they have three games in a row at home. Miami, Houston on a Thursday night, and then they'll play against the Buffalo Bills, and then Tom Brady is slated to come back and play against the Cleveland Browns after that suspension concludes. I mean, you know, if you're the Patriots, I think you'll sign for anything but 0-4. If he goes 1-3, could be better, could be worse, but I think you'll live with it under the circumstances. Now, you know, you look at that schedule, I'm sorry, that, you know, Miami, that could be a tough game, especially early on. You know, Adam Gase, it just looks like a weird, weird spot for the Patriots. Because you come off of that Sunday night game against the Cardinals, maybe you're beaten up a little bit. That's not a gimme game against the Dolphins. And then you come back against Houston, you hope that maybe Brock Osweiler isn't in rhythm, isn't in the flow as a starter. Maybe they give you that one. So you get one there. I'm not saying they're going to lose that Miami game, but I don't think it's a layup by any stretch. And then Buffalo, who knows? Who knows what Buffalo Bills team you're going to see by that point. So tough break for the Patriots. And now we'll see how this plays out. There are rumblings that Brady is going to fight this. That was the early word on the street, according to Adam Schefter of ESPN. I think he should fight it. I mean, I wouldn't want to sit four games, but it's going to be tough for him to win, it would appear. There's some talk about this going maybe as far up the flagpole as Supreme Court. If it does, Supreme Court would have to agree to hear the case. If they do, I mean, this is stupid. The fact that this could go to Supreme Court is just absolutely bananas. It would be a waste of time, effort, and money. But if that's what it takes to get this thing erased, if I'm Tom Brady, absolutely. Where do I sign? I'll do it all day long and twice on Sunday. So I think that's one aspect of this that can't be ruled out. I don't think this is over by any stretch of the imagination. I think there's going to be another appeal that's going to come from Brady's side in some way, shape, or form to possibly try to block this suspension. And, you know, we could be back and forth on this, but I think in the end, even if he does appeal, I don't see him winning it. I think it's going to stand, and I think the Patriots are going to be without Brady the first 4 weeks of the season. The NFL season should not be, and the outcome of it should not be dictated by Roger Goodell and just ridiculous cases like this one. This is dumb. This is a speeding ticket, okay? This is a speeding ticket. But because of all the moving parts, because of all the incompetency involved, we're at this stage. We're at this stage. And it's just, it's a shame. It didn't have to get this far and this deep, but the NFL is determined to drag Brady through the mud. There's no question. This is a make good for Deflategate. That's what this is. Anybody who tries to tell you otherwise is simply kidding themselves. This is a receipt for Deflategate and not penalizing the Patriots harshly enough the first time around. So now they're getting them on the back end, and it is what it is. You know, Roger Goodell, you know, people are like, well, Goodell's going to want to save face with the Kraft family. Really? We've gotten to this point and he's going to be worried about saving face with the Kraft family? I don't think so. He's got 32 bosses. There's only one Kraft family. Do the math. So I think that's a tough spot for the Patriots here in this particular situation. So looks like it'll be the life of Jimmy Garoppolo headed your way here pretty soon for the Patriots as we approach training camp and then head into the regular season with TB12 out the first 4 weeks of the year. And the other bit before we shift gears into the big news pop culturally, let's get into this Sam Bradford mess. So Sam Bradford did not show up to an Eagles offseason workout today and is now demanding that he be traded. I got a question for all those listening out there. Who in the hell is Sam Bradford to demand a trade? Okay? Sam Bradford was signed to a 2-year deal, okay, that is going to pay him a lot of money. So, if I'm Sam Bradford, I'm making $18 million. off of this deal that I just signed, all right, I would be running to the bank immediately. I think this is a bad mistake for Bradford to go crazy. He's requested a trade. The Eagles are going to take a crazy... I think I heard today they would take an $11 million salary cap hit if they traded him this season. Man, that's a tough pill to swallow if you're the Eagles. Already word out that the Eagles and Broncos were talking about potentially sending Bradford to the Broncos and even Denver. Whatever the asking price was from the Eagles, Denver felt that was too high. And I got to be honest, I mean, yeah, and this goes back to my original point. Who in the hell is Sam Bradford to do all this? Dude, they did it to John Elway. They drafted a quarterback in the first round. They did it to Brett Favre. They're going to do it whether you want it or not. And you're not anybody to command that type of respect. That is such a joke that he did this. I mean, come on, man. I will say where the Eagles have messed this up is a couple of areas. Number one, should have never signed Chase Daniel to any sort of remotely close to being lucrative contract. And that's what they did a little bit. You have Bradford on top of that, and now you have the number two pick in the draft where it looks like you'll take a quarterback. I understand why Bradford's ticked off. You know, he's a competitor, and he maybe feels that, you know, this situation is not advantageous for him to compete successfully. But as Marcellus Wiley said today, Marcellus Wiley actually called Sam Bradford a coward. I don't know if I'd go that strong, but it's kind of ridiculous. It is. It's kind of a joke that Bradford has this high of opinion of himself. And I'm not saying you shouldn't have confidence as a quarterback, but you should. This is just crazy. Dude, you haven't played an entire season with the Eagles, like a 16-game full slate. Make it through 16 games of a year, and then come back and talk to me. Because that's what this is about. I mean, he is not a sure thing. Now, I will say on the flip side of that, whoever they take, whether it's Jared Goff or Carson Wentz, that's not a sure thing either. It's not. And I think what the Eagles are doing here is they're trying to give themselves a little insurance in case they botched a quarterback pick. That's what I think is happening here. Because it makes no sense that you bring in three quarterbacks, all paid this much. It doesn't add up. So I think the Eagles, will they trade Sam Bradford? It doesn't sound like they will. And it sounds like the Eagles are going to try to stick to some teams up for him if they indeed want him on the roster. So Sam Bradford, if you never play again for the Eagles, that's fine by me. But in the end, this is an absolute travesty that Bradford is making this big of a stink over the situation. You're not the coach, dude. You're not the GM. They will do what they want, when they want, and how they want to do it. All right. That's the latest in the NFL as far as what's cracking in the NFL. You hear the music, and that's where we'll transition. You know, I don't talk a lot about music on this podcast, as you may know. It's been a heavy-duty podcast. Normally on the side of football, obviously. We've delved into wrestling as of late. And actually, I got a couple wrestling notes at the end of the show. But one of the things I wanted to talk about, obviously, was the death of Prince that took place last Thursday. And, I just want to talk about this because this is important, dude. You got to understand something. When you look at the 1980s, all right, there were three major, major musical acts. Michael Jackson, Madonna, and Prince. And now, two of those gentlemen are no longer with us. And yeah, you know, it's going to happen at some point where these folks pass away and what have you. But it doesn't make it any easier. And when I found out that Prince had passed away, I was sitting in my car outside of a banquet hall, dropping off some money for a work party I have coming up this week. And it was weird. Like, I turned on the radio, and I heard them say Paisley Park, the DJ on the air. And initially, I didn't have a good feeling. I just knew something was wrong because you could hear the Prince music playing as well. I said, oh no. And then as soon as I heard that, my phone rang and it was my mom telling me what I had kind of thought in the back of my mind, that something bad had happened with Prince. And that's indeed what happened. A couple of things here. Saturday night, I went out to the movie theater. They decided, and by they I mean the powers that be, I guess at Warner Brothers, decided to re-release in limited dosages Purple Rain. And I went to the theater to watch Purple Rain. I have it on DVD. I have the 25th anniversary DVD at home. I've seen the movie maybe 75 times. I've seen it a lot. It is really strange seeing a movie that took place in 1984 in the theater today, knowing that, A, you know, if you're there, you probably saw the film, and just rewatching it in that scope is a little bit of a unique experience. I loved it, and the biggest part for me was the crowd. If you could just be in that crowd during the concert scenes in the club during that movie, it was something that's going to stick with me for a long time. There were people behind me crying when he played Purple Rain. There were people with lighters who were waving the lighters back and forth when Purple Rain was on. They gave Prince multiple ovations during the film. It wasn't just at the end. It was in the beginning. It was in the middle when he did the Beautiful Ones, where he was singing to Apollonia. Like, it was throughout the film. And it just showed you, like, you know, how great he was. And I got to say this. You know, you can say what you want about Prince. If you don't like Prince, whatever. But in that movie, one thing watching it again Saturday night became clear to me. Nobody in the history of the earth, okay, has been as good at anything in their life as Prince was in that film as a performer. I'm talking about musically, you know, the acting is what it is. It's not, you know, Jack Nicholson. It's not Leo DiCaprio. But the musical performance in that film, that is as good of a performance by an entertainer, as a pure entertainer. That is somebody at the top of their craft. You don't see that a lot. You see it in sports from time to time, but you don't see it a lot in entertainment. And that is, you were watching, when you're watching the closing sequence, the closing moments of Purple Rain, you are watching a guy who at that time was at the top. And I don't mean at the top of pop music. I mean at the top of entertainment. And that was at the same time as Michael Jackson. And I'm sorry, Prince to me will always be better than Michael Jackson as an entertainer. God rest his soul. I just think he brought more to the table. Was he a weird dude? Yeah, sure. But just so much tremendous stuff. That movie is one to me, and this is going to sound crazy to many of you, maybe. I think Purple Rain is one of the, I'd say, 100 greatest movies of all time. I'm not saying it's the greatest movie ever by any stretch, because the acting, you know, Morris Day is not Sir Laurence Olivier, okay? He's not Al Pacino in Scarface. He's not Al Pacino in Godfather 1 or 2. The acting is not fantastic, but everything just works well together in that movie. Every scene means something, which doesn't happen too often now in films these days, it seems, but everything serves a purpose. Such a great film, such a great environment to be around, and it was very therapeutic for what had happened over the last 48 hours. And then, like, on top of that, too, all the music videos that have been on TV, you really get exposed once again to Prince's body of work. You know, going back to something in the beginning here I wanted to discuss, going back a little bit to Purple Rain. So Purple Rain came out in 1984, and for me personally, his music has always meant a lot because when I grew up as a kid, you know, I was 5 years old in 1984. I really didn't have any earthly idea what the hell was going on. I didn't understand anything. But my parents were really big into R&B. So that was the music I grew up on. I grew up listening to R&B. I grew up listening to a lot of pop music. So when I was in the car with mom and dad going to school or going to, the Y or going to any like after school sports program, that's what was on in the car. Prince, Michael Jackson, Madonna, the two local radio stations that play R&B music are DAS and Power 99 in the Philadelphia area. Those are the stations that were on all the time in my parents' cars. So that's how I got exposed to Prince. And, you know, that's why this kind of hits close to home. It always sucks losing people you enjoyed a lot when you were a kid. And he was one of the first musicians that I really enjoyed a lot. And to be honest with you, I had no business listening to his music when I was 5-6 years old, because he's talking about having sex. Like he's talking about filthy stuff, you know. He's not talking about gardening in these songs. He's talking about getting it in. And, you know, as a young man, I had no idea what that was. He's talking about when doves cry. I think he's talking about birds. That's what I thought. I'm like, oh, this cool sounding song about birds. No, he's not talking about birds. You know, it's you got to understand what's going on. And it took me a while to understand what was going on. Well past when I was in elementary school did you really grasp what was going on. But yeah, man, I just want to go through some top Prince songs. If you have never listened to Prince, okay, if you're out here, if you're not in the United States, if you're in a foreign country and you're listening to this podcast, which, by the way, much love and respect to people in Mexico who are downloading this podcast. I don't know how you found it, but you found it somehow. So thank you very much for supporting me. Some songs you want to look up, okay, on iTunes or Tidal if you have that, because you can't really, Prince is like non-existent on YouTube. Purple Rain, Raspberry Beret. Raspberry Beret might be the greatest song of all time, maybe. The Beautiful Ones. The whole Purple Rain soundtrack is out of this world. Controversy, Erotic City, I Want to Be Your Lover, Delirious, Pop Life, Diamonds and Pearls. The Prince and the Revolution stuff is sensational. It is out of this world. It is tremendous. I highly recommend you take a listen to that. Even Prince's stuff a little bit after the Revolution era, which ended like right around 1986, it's still good. It's not the A-plus stuff he was doing with the Revolution, but it's still more than passable. I mean, if you like the Batman song, whatever, it ended up being, I believe that was a number one hit. You know, You Got the Look with Sheena Easton, Diamonds and Pearls, that type of stuff. And the stuff, I think back in 04 when he did Call My Name in Musicology, like, those songs were great. So, I mean, geez, you can really sit down and lose yourself in his collection. And by the way, big shout out to the folks in Minnesota. There was a public radio station out in Minnesota, I believe they're called The Current. You go to thecurrent.org. They played Prince's entire musical catalog, which I work in radio. That's highly illegal, dog. You can't do that. So they played 26 hours or so worth of Prince music. Crazy, 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 crazy. But I dug it. I thought it was cool. I didn't listen all 26 hours, but I listened to a good amount of it on and off, and it was a great program. We need to have that type of dedication in music or just anything in life. I mean, the fact that they went to that level for him, I think speaks to the powerful nature of who he was and what he was to a lot of people. Also, I'm going to find a way to get this up online without getting it pulled down. He did the credits close on Super Bowl 26. Super Bowl 26 was out in Minnesota. So what CBS did at the end of it was they used highlights from Super Bowl 26 and juxtaposed that with a song off the Diamonds and Pearls album called Willing and Able. And I got to tell you, that's the only part of Super Bowl 26 that's even worth watching, and I don't think it's on YouTube. It was on YouTube at one point under, if you search like CBS sports credits 1982 to 1992, it was on there, but somebody, it's probably his stuff that got flagged for being up there. It was up at one point. It got pulled down. So, you know, I'm going to try. I have the game and that music video on VHS tape. I hope to be able to drag some of that on there so folks, we can at least share it and have you see that. So I just thought that was really cool. Man, like I said, this totally sucks. The best thing you can do is when stuff like this happens, I always remember a great quote from the legendary professional wrestler Arn Anderson. I'm paraphrasing this, of course. Remember me how I was, not how I am. And I think that's really what you want to take out of Prince's last days here. However, the autopsy comes out, who knows what's going to be discovered. But if it's something negative, that's not how you want to remember Prince, man. I mean, remember him for the good times, for the great music, the movies. Purple Rain, Under the Cherry Moon, Graffiti Bridge. Graffiti Bridge and Under the Cherry Moon, not good movies by any stretch. But Purple Rain, as we said, all-time great movie. Under the Cherry Moon and Graffiti Bridge are things, if you're a Prince fan and you haven't seen them, watch them. Because that's really a big part of his story in a sense. You know, Under the Cherry Moon was more or less the end of the Revolution era for Prince. And you could kind of see that playing out in the movie because he's got Jerome Benton in the movie. Jerome Benton was more or less a lackey for Morris Day in the original Purple Rain. And then, you know, they play two different characters. Prince and Jerome Benton play different characters in Under the Cherry Moon. And then eventually it comes back full circle as Graffiti Bridge more or less is the sequel to Purple Rain, but it just didn't work out. It did not have the same gravitas that Purple Rain had. So if you get a chance to check those movies out on top of Purple Rain, I recommend that you do so. Not the greatest movies in the world. You'll probably want to slap me in the face or punch me for suggesting them, but it's Prince. Watch it. Lastly, before we get out of here, the last show we did was on WrestleMania 32 when we talked a lot about that and talked about Raw. A couple of quick things. Look, man, I don't want to offend folks out there about the WWE who like this, the Bullet Club. I'm not sure I'm down with this. Not sure yet. Jury's still out. Because, and you know, Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows, they're very good wrestlers. But there's something about this that is screaming NWO knockoff. That's what this looks like. It looks like, it feels like they're doing some sort of, like, lighter version of the NWO. That's what it just appears to be. Now, it's not going to be anywhere near the same thing because you don't have all the pieces in the environment, but the Bullet Club looks like the little brother of the NWO. That's what it looks like. So I'm not feeling this stuff yet. I like that they're doing it because it's something different, but the jury's still out on my behalf. I mean, the Bullet Club and anything that is big over in Japan, you don't really see it. You don't see it in the volume that you see the stuff in the United States. So it's hard for me to get ramped up. Like, I've watched a few of the promos and stuff on YouTube, and I was like, I saw this mess when it was the NWO. So I'm not jumping on the bandwagon of Anderson and Gallows just yet. So we'll see how that goes. Otherwise, they just got back from the European tour after 2 weeks, and we'll see what happens. WWE Payback is on Sunday. Who knows? Maybe we'll do a podcast review of that show. That'll be after the Broad Street run too on Sunday, so who knows? I might have to do that podcast in an ice bath or something. We'll see. But that will just about do it for the JMRA podcast. Good times as always. Again, check us out on the blog, joemontanasrightarm.com, on Twitter, @JoeM'sRightArm, on Facebook by searching Joe Montana's Right Arm, on Instagram, just search Joe Montana's Right Arm. J Montana's Right Arm is the Instagram handle. Until next time, go out and do something with yourself, like listen to some Prince or something. Happy football, everybody.